So I think, so, you know, as I've thought about this, sort of this new season we're going into, I'm going to spend some time, I think, on a series on growing in our Christian spiritual formation. Growing in our Christian spiritual formation. And I want to say that the life of obedience in Christ has been the most written and discussed subject of the Christian faith in the whole of our history. More so than theology. I mean, that really, how do we learn? How do we become more obedient to God? How do we learn to love Christ more than what we do? And why is it such a challenge? What are some things that we can do? I mean, these are the kinds of questions that people have asked for two millennia. And in many cases, to great effect. And I think it's important to talk about because, have you ever been in a situation where people know that you're a Christian and they may talk about how wonderful you are at times, but you have these feelings of guilt or a sense of inadequacy? You might even feel like a bit of a poser or a hypocrite because you know that in your faith, how you've just been described is not really what you are. And I think that if we're all honest, we are that way. There are two sides to us. There's the public side in terms of our Christian faith, and there's a side that other people don't see, the inside of us, or maybe in other places that people don't see. And so, and it's not that many of us sort of openly pursue that. It's just that we haven't found a way to fix it. We really want to be exactly in this place in Christ what we are in this place in Christ. But getting these two things to blend together and to be coherent and cohesive is one of the greatest challenges in the Christian faith. So let me ask you a couple questions. Are you confident and satisfied with the current status of your relationship with Christ? Are you confident and satisfied with the current status of your relationship with Christ? So there are really two parts to that. And the first part is the legal relational status. In other words, are you confident that you know that because of your commitment to Christ that He has declared you not guilty? And that Christ instead has taken on your sin and you have been declared not guilty and you now are confident that you are a child of God. Are you confident in that? Is that something that you just really are passionate about? You know that that's true. Because there could be some people here who don't feel that way about themselves. They are not confident when it comes to their status in relationship to Christ. Are you confident? Are you satisfied with that? But there's a second part. And the second part has to do with our spiritual condition in Christ. The lifestyle of committed obedience. Are you satisfied with how you live obediently to Christ? Are you confident in your relationship with Christ? Are you confident and satisfied with that? Is that something that really, if Christ were to come back today, or you were to pass away suddenly, that you could throw up your arms and say, "Yes, Lord, I am ready. I am pleased and confident with how I am before you now, that I obey you like I should. I trust you like I should." I mean, if you're like me, you have days where you just don't feel very satisfied or confident in that way. I mean, we all have some tough minutes, some tough days, some tough weeks or months. And that's just the nature of our life. But some of us, and I've said this before in the past, You know, the truth of the matter is that one of the things that's haunted the church for 2,000 millennia is that there are people who can come to faith early in life, 16, 17, 18 years of age, and 50 years later still be basically the same person in terms of their maturity 50 years later that they were when they were 18. They haven't grown. And so, in most cases, the reason why we don't grow is because we either don't know how, or because we really, if we're honest, we really don't want to, because the Lord wants to tear our world apart, and He wants to take out the things in our life that make us less than what we should be. I mean, submission to God is a tough assignment. It just is. So are you confident? The second question I have is, what specific mindset, attitude, and or habits do you have that are obstacles between you and God? So, and I'm going to talk about this later on in the series, but you know, you ever have, like, when the Holy Spirit, you're doing something or you think something, and you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and He's basically saying, I don't think you should be saying that. You know, you really shouldn't be doing that. And then instantly, you begin to arrange some kind of rationalization. Yes, but. Or this will be the last time. Or I'm not quite sure that that's really true. But you develop a series of rationalizations about why you can still say what you want to say or think what you want to think or do what you want to do. You know, so all of us have, I mean, I think if we're honest, all of us have certain areas of our life that we rationalize, that we refuse to give up to the Lord, you know, and you're like, I don't think I've told this illustration for a while, so I'm going to tell it again, but. So imagine that you're down at the bottom of the hill and you're at the drugstore, and you want to cross over from the drugstore to you're at the gasoline station, the new Marathon. It's a Marathon, I think, down at the bottom of the hill. And you want to cross over to the drugstore and get some medicine or whatever. And so as you're crossing over there, another person is crossing the street at the same time you are from the opposite side, and down the hill comes a big truck, and they don't see the truck. You see the truck, and the truck's about to run them over. And in a heroic moment on your part, you throw your body in front of the person, you knock them out of the way, but you get run over and die. Okay, and so you know the award-winning Beaver County Times sees that what you have done, and so they write this story up on you, You know, they, you know, and so it's like, wow, this person gave up their life, you know, for this other person. And then the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette picks it up and they run that story. And then, you know, it's sort of like a light week in national history or national news. And so the USA Today picks up the same story and they run it in USA Today. And you make it in People magazine and people start really sort of lauding you for this heroic thing that you did, which is really heroic, you know. And so the more people get to know you, they sort of want to do a story on your life. And there's this write-up and Hollywood sort of picks up the story and they want to do a movie of your life. And so, you know, this is a person on the street. We just need to do a movie of the person on the street in all of their authenticity, just exactly who they really are. And, you know, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to do this movie. So they write up the script. And here's what they do in preparation for writing up the script. They send people to where you live, and they do a complete background history of you. I mean, everything. Okay, they talk to all your friends that you've ever talked to. They go to your school. They read all of your journals. They horror of horrors. They read your Facebook posts. Everything. I mean, they get into everything about your life. It's as if they could crawl in your head and figure out everything that you have ever thought in your entire life, and they write it up as part of the movie script. And they produce the movie, and this big day comes. And the movie's about to be released, And in the movie, it details everything that you have ever thought as a Christian and said and done. Well, how many of us would have to leave town if that movie came out, right? I mean, it's true. I mean, if they did, because the world probably couldn't appreciate or understand. What's that? Yeah, well, that's true, too. I hadn't thought about that, but okay. But you get my point. So, you know, somebody always has a spoiled story, don't they, huh? Yeah, the family might have to leave town. Exactly. Thank you. But look, and a lot of those things that people would see in that movie, they would see the rationalizations. They would see the back and forth conversation that we would have about why we justified what we said, what we thought, what we did. And so, what specific mindset or rationalizations, attitude, and or habits do we have that are obstacles? They're obstacles. They get in the way. Let's be honest. They get in the way between us and God. And sometimes it isn't even really a horrible thing, like a terrible sin. Sometimes it may be how we think about ourselves. I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday, and I shared with them. For the longest time, and this is still largely true, for the longest time in my life, I was raised to believe that if somebody was a professional, they were better than what we were. And you really couldn't bother them or talk to them or they were better than you. And that kind of imprinting in my life has followed me most of my life. I mean, I think I'm pretty much over it now, but for a long time, I mean, I would be intimidated by people who were like a doctor or a lawyer or something like that because they were professional and I wasn't, and they were better educated and I wasn't, and they made more money than what we did, and all those kinds of things. And it got in the way. That's not how the Lord wanted me to see myself, but it got in the way. And it took a lot of work to overcome those kinds of mindsets that sometimes, you know, we've talked about this before. How many of us do what our parents do to ourselves and to our children, what our parents do to themselves and to their children? But you inherited certain things. And they get in the way of our ability to be obedient. So, in light of that then, I want to read to you Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning with verse 22. This is the Apostle Paul talking to Christians in Ephesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So I just want to focus on a few of these. Go back to verse 22 if you would. I just want to focus on these verses 22 through 24 for a few minutes. The Apostle Paul says, you were taught. That word taught is didasco. And didasco means to hold discourse with others in order to instruct them. You were taught. You were instructed. That's why we have Sunday school. It's why we have children's church. It's why we have adult Sunday school. It's why we have Bible studies. Because we're being taught. We're being instructed. There is a discourse going on that helps us to understand what it is that the Lord requires of us. So the Apostle Paul is talking to the Christians in Ephesus, and he's saying, look, you guys are struggling with this old man, new man thing, and you are because you've forgotten how you've been instructed. You've been taught. Most of us in the room, we have been taught. We have been instructed. So he says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Actually, this is the NIV reading. I really think the New American Standard Bible reading is the better reading. And it's to put off the old man. That word self is the word anthropos, where we get the word anthropology, the study of man, anthropology, anthropos. And so he's saying to put off your old man. And it's almost kind of a poetic way of saying it. So you sort of almost take this old, this the old former self that you were before Christ, and you're taking that off and you're putting aside. If you can almost picture that, it's like the old self is like this skin, and you're just ripping off this skin and you're putting it aside. So you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off. That word put off is apotheta. I can't pronounce it. It's Greek. It escapes me. Sometimes I like to say the Greek like I really know Greek really well, which I don't. But I like, thank God for Bible Works because it really helps me with that stuff. But anyway, this Greek word here, it means to cast off or to lay aside. To cast off or to lay aside. So you were taught to cast off, to lay aside the old self. Do you remember how you were before being in Christ? Do you remember the way in which you thought and how you lived and all those kinds of things? Do you remember how destructive they were? And then when you came to faith in Christ, you began a process of casting off or laying aside the old man. That old person, so that maybe when you bumped into a person years later, said, "Boy, you're really different." You say, "Well, thank you. Yes, I am different," because what they don't see anymore are parts of the old man that were there before. You've learned to cast them off, to set them aside. So that old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Now, look, we all need to understand that we live in a world today that no longer believes this. That pretty much the way a person is okay. It's really all right. I mean, unless it's truly pathological or sociopathological, then it's not that bad. It's fine. The world today in which we live today, it doesn't really believe that we're being corrupted. The world that we live in today believes that humanity continues to get better and better and better as time goes on. But when I read the scriptures, that's not what I read. I read about when the end times come that things will get worse and worse and worse. You know, there's a whole other thing I can go into about that, but the old man is corrupted. So to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new or renewed, the image in us, the image of God in us is renewed through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In the attitude, that word, in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That word reason there, I'm sorry, in the attitude of your minds is the word nous. It's a kind of reason in the narrowest sense, as the capacity as being able to tell the capacity for spiritual truth, the higher powers of the soul. In other words, when the old man is cast off and the new man begins to emerge in us, we have an increased capacity to sense and to understand and to appreciate and to imbibe in the things of heaven, the things of God. That's what happens when that takes place. But if we keep the old man, if the old man still sticks to us, then we can't sense or appreciate or love the things of God. So I want to go into verse 25 and finish this. Just finish reading through this. Therefore, Each of you must put off false. So here's what he's saying. Look, so he's saying, I want you to deal with this old man, new man thing. And I want us to spend the next number of weeks in this new year talking about the old man, new man thing. And then the Apostle Paul goes on to say, basically, here are some examples of the old man that you need to cast aside. Right? So verse 25, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. The old man is falsehood. Truthfulness is the new man. For we are all members of one body. Verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. In other words, don't let sin, don't let anger become habitualized. Don't let it become a regular part of your life. Deal with your anger. Whatever's making you angry, deal with it as soon as you possibly can. Don't let it become embedded in you. Don't let it become a grudge. Do any of you know people who hold a grudge? How many of you know people who hold a grudge? That's anger that's become a habit. That's anger that's become embedded in their lives. And they are not very pleasant to people to be around, are they? And you are very careful not to cross them as well, aren't you? Verse 27, and do not give the devil a foothold. So here's the thing. Here are some of the implications of verse 27. There is a devil who seeks our destruction. In fact, 2 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And here's something that you all need to know and why dealing with the old man is so very important. As long as we ignore the old man in us, then the devil, and this is the implication here, probes our life for places that he can get a foothold. And when he gets that foothold, he will find a way to use it to devour you and me. As long as we have the old man in our life and we don't deal with that old man, the devil will probe our lives. And he will latch on to that old man that we leave undealt with. And that gives him an opportunity to gain a foothold so that our lives can be devoured. There have been many battles and many wars that have won just because soldiers were able to gain a foothold. That's all they needed. Just a foothold. And if you don't believe me, then read about D-Day. Because that's all that was. The Allies just gained a foothold on the beach. And because they gained that foothold, they won World War II. And if the enemy can get a foothold in our lives, he can win many battles in our life. So the old man is an important part for us to deal with. And so I'm going to spend, I don't know, probably 4 or 6 weeks talking about the old man. And it's in us and really encouraging and affirming our need to find a way through the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit to allow the new man to come forward with more strength and more power, more resiliency. And to find ways to rip off the old man, to say, set it aside, so that, look, just one final analysis, parallel. People die, millions of people die from disease every year just because one or two germs got a foothold in a person's life because they didn't wash their hands, or they were in a place that they shouldn't have been, or they ate a tiny little something or another they shouldn't have eaten. It just needed a little foothold. That's all. So are you concerned about your foothold as I'm concerned about mine? Are you concerned about the old man in you as I'm concerned about the old man in me? Because I still got a lot of old man left. Not just because I have a white beard and white hair, but because there's the old man, you know, the BC, the before Christ old man. So let's take this journey together and find a way to be how to become better new men in Christ.